Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Mark and Kitchen.
I feel like, you know, from the beginning, obviously we had big goals, and, you know, a lot of people had big goals for us, and, you know, first five games of the season, you just seen things go downhill from the beginning. I feel like we wasn't playing like how we wanted to.
You seem like you're a little extra adamant today. What's going on?
Yeah, I'm a little medicated. I met a very reliable doctor at a Cypress Hill concert, and he floated me a couple pills just to feel better, you know? But I don't feel better, you feel worse!
I'm not being Terry Rozier because I have to adjust to how Kyrie plays. And then when, you know, Kyrie goes out, Gordon Hayward comes in, and I feel like his usage is super high.
You're a very nice guy, but I just don't have any room in my life for a new friend. Okay?
On Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
Everything was roses in Indiana because they didn't lose. Then they blow out Milwaukee in game one. But now there's real life adversity in this series. Real life NBA adversity. So you've got to find a way to deal with it. And so far, so not good.
First off, I am 35 years old. I am divorced. And I live in a van down by the river.
They were still having very good seasons.
They were never the four seed.
They were finding things to keep them engaged. That's what you do. Whereas Kyrie was checked out, waiting for the playoffs to show what their team's metal was.
All the young players were invited to steer. Stevens had no fear. He said, no problem. We got a great team. Just look at that roster.
Now it's time for Mark and Kitchen on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
Coming at ya! All right, hour two of the Mark and Kitchen show, 103.7 WEEI, Mark Dondero, Ben Kitchen. So you have some concerns about the San Jose Sharks if the Bruins match up with them?
A little bit. Just the offensive depth they have, their ability, San Jose's ability to find scoring from anywhere is what troubles me a little bit about that series. That's one of the things that would trouble me going against the Sharks, is the fact that they can get offensive production from far more places than you can get. I know it's been different this postseason run, but if you look at the totality of the season, they're getting production from everywhere. That's one of the things that would concern the hell out of me. Is that there's just going to be too many opportunities. Too many opportunities for San Jose. Other than that, I'm not terribly concerned. I think you do have the better team. I think you have the better team no matter which matchup, and you should win the Stanley Cup Finals no matter who you're playing against. But that is one of my big concerns with the Sharks.
See, you know who I see the Sharks a lot like? I see them a lot like I saw the Maple Leafs. Offensive firepower.
Fair.
Not as much defensively to throw at you.
But who? Okay, so who gave you the biggest problem so far in the postseason?
And I think you could make the argument that the Sharks are deeper. And by the way, defensively, and I know he's more of an offensive threat kind of guy. But Erik Karlsson defensively, remember the issues you had with him when he was in Ottawa 2 years ago. So that's another guy that has played against you in the playoffs, knows about you. And he'd be a problem. I'd love to see that matchup. I think there'd be the most drama associated with that matchup. I hope it comes to that, even though the Blues wouldn't be bad. The St. Louis thing, I'm sort of over, and I don't think they have as much star power, guys I know, names I know, as the Sharks do. That's why I want to see San Jose. And the Martin Jones thing is interesting.
And I think that's very important with the sport. You need those guys, especially on the biggest stage. You need name value. You need name recognition to continue to try and grow this sport and make it bigger than it actually is right now. And that's important. St. Louis is there. You're not going to get the same thing.
Another thing that just annoys me, I'm going to just bring this up real quick, and you can yell at me because a lot of people on Twitter already did. Okay. I don't understand why people fawn over the handshake line at the end of a hockey series. You know, it's nice. I appreciate the sportsmanship. But I was watching when the Celtics lost to the Bucks. they all went to the center of the court, essentially, and everybody was giving everybody dap and embraces, and Giannis was talking to Kyrie. And this, I mean, it happens basically in every sport. Why is it so much grander in hockey? I don't understand.
It comes down to the insecurity of hockey fans. And I'm talking about primarily hockey fans in terms of hockey's my big sport. Hockey's my number one sport. I love the NHL more than I love the NFL, NBA, MLB. It comes down to their insecurities. They're trying to find anything to highlight why their sport's better than yours.
All right. I think it's just because they do it. It's sort of on a pedestal where they're all only the players in the middle of the ice and the coaches lining up, shaking hands.
I'm gone by then.
Yeah.
Game's over. It's been over for 5 minutes now. I'm gone.
Yeah.
I don't care if they shake each other's. Now, if they start fighting after the game, I'm far more interested.
Back.
But if they're just shaking each other's hands, whatever. I don't care. It's nice. Don't get me wrong.
We're for sportsmanship.
You're right. The sportsmanship of it is nice. I don't care. I don't care. It's not entertaining to me to watch 30 grown men shake each other's hand. I don't understand why it's so special to these people.
It happens in other sports. I mean, everybody was going gaga over the little interaction that Rod Brindamore and Zdeno Chara had.
Yeah.
The same thing. I mean, Tom Brady will have that same interaction with the running back from Anderson, from the Rams.
Yeah, it's just, there's a million more people on the playing surface, whether it's the court or the field at that point, in terms of photographers, cameramen, writers, whatever, journalists, the people that are there to get that interview after the game. There's a million more people there.
Platform matters.
I don't care if they shake each other's hands.
Yeah.
I'm on your side.
Okay.
If I was still on social media, I would have defended. No, I wouldn't have, because I wouldn't have seen it. But if you'd asked me to, I would have defended you.
Okay, so speaking of the Bruins, Alex Cora was asked about the Bruins, and he said that it was really cool to have all three trophies in the city at the same time. He got a little bit ahead of himself, I think. Whatever. Red Sox have seemed to turn it around. Is this the team that you expected to see, and is it too late?
No, it's not too late. We talked about the end of May, depending on where you were, as potentially being that cutoff line for too late if you were still struggling. Since they've turned it around, especially offensively, since that's looking a hell of a lot better for this team
now. 14-6 in their last 20?
Sure. It's not too late for them. They're only 4.5 games out.
Yep.
And New York took the lead last night, right? New York took the AL East lead over the Rays last night?
I believe. I didn't see. They were tied 1-1, and then I went to bed, and I didn't see how it ended.
Yeah, Yankees won. That's correct.
Yeah, they're half game up on the Rays. So you're 4 games behind the Rays. You're on the right side of 500. No, I don't think it's too late. I think they're in a good position right now. If they can continue to move forward. But they need help. They need bullpen help. They need pitching help. They can't sit complacent and be like, see, we've got the talent. They cannot do what the Red Sox did. I mean, what the Celtics did. Say, well, we've got the talent that is back from last year. We don't need to add things to make this better for us going forward. No. You cannot stay complacent like the Celtics did. You have to make a couple of moves here and bring in a couple of pieces if you want to go back to the playoffs this year and try and win another World Series.
It's like a golf swing, a team swing. It's a living, breathing organism. You can't just sit with what you've got and never make any tweaks or changes because it's always evolving. I agree. They need to do something. Last night, I thought it was interesting because Alex Cora basically admitted some regret that he left Rick Porcello out there for the eighth inning, and then obviously Porcello gave up the two-run home run to George Springer. That, I think, and I'm not going to crush him for that, because that's Cora falling back on what he did, I think, all of last postseason. It's a big game. It's against the Astros.
And your starter, been really taxed.
Bullpen has been
and
used.
Bad.
Yeah. That's not their strength. Why would you not stick with the guy that has been pitching great? I don't have any
issue with
that.
I'm fine with that. It was George Springer who beat you.
Leads the league in home runs.
He's one of the best players in the game right now. That's okay. It happens. I have no problem with that. Riding that hot hand, I have no problem with. I'm very confused.
Never know what you're going to get.
Why? Why is that guy just walking around without a shirt on?
He's here to shave Devin.
What's going on? Can one of you monkeys solve this? Who is that guy?
All right. I've lost my train of thought.
Sorry. It's not my fault. It was that guy's fault.
Yeah, I know. I'm with you. I think the fact that I even asked the question right now on May 18th was a good sign for the Red Sox. They've sort of steadied the ship. Chris Sale had how many strikeouts the other night? 17?
Yeah.
That was, I mean, that's
good.
Did you
want him to go for 20?
Yes. I always want to see the history.
Meh. Meh.
I know. It's more about the long-term vision.
That's Mysterio from Spider-Man.
Okay. Thank you.
No, I don't care. Don't care.
You don't remember Roger Clemens in 96 striking out 20
Tigers? I remember
Tigers?
Listening to it on the radio. I remember actually
Mario
listening to
and
that
Pemba?
Game on the – was he there then?
I don't know.
I doubt it. I remember it vividly, but I already got it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I got it.
Remember Kerry Wood?
I do remember that.
That was a great game.
Randy Johnson had one, but I think it was a 10-inning game.
Okay.
Back with the D-backs.
I don't remember that one. I remember Kerry Wood, May of 98, striking out 20.
Yeah, when he was 22 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen it. Not a big deal.
Hey, as long as he's ready to go in October.
Yes.
That's all that matters. This team is back on track. I love it.
And the other thing, too, is now that you're starting to see him pitch well, yeah. I don't want anything to derail that.
Yeah. Can I just make one other point? As we were talking about the Celtics earlier. Can you imagine if a guy like Andrew Benintendi or Charlie McAvoy derailed the Red Sox or Bruins seasons? Terry Rozier. Now, I get Terry Rozier wasn't the only guy. There were a lot of young guys. But the fact that that happened and that he – I couldn't believe what I was hearing from Terry Rozier. I couldn't believe it that he admitted that he sacrificed his talent. I mean, that is the most selfish thing I've ever heard.
Mm.
To come out and just say it like that.
Yeah, the way you said it was not
that,
very
it was
good.
Unbelievable to me. But the Red Sox.
But going back to that real quick before we go back to the Red Sox, it just shows a lack of leadership on that team. Your best player is not your leader in Kyrie Irving, obviously. Stevens did not do a great job in terms of leading that team. Al Horford, where are you? Marcus Smart's the only leader in that team, and that's not a great situation to be in.
See, but I think that situation that Terry Rozier unveiled, that was almost kind of. I don't want to make this parallel, but they say like when you're in grade school, like you don't want to be a tattletale. Only tell the teacher if it's dangerous or destructive.
Snitches get stitches.
Yeah, that was sort of a situation where if there was a time to go tell the teacher, I think you do it there. That's when you tell the teacher. Kyrie Irving wasn't a good leader, but I think an issue like that is even too big for just the best player / leader to handle. The coach has to get involved. The GM, Danny Ainge especially, should have gotten involved because that was a big-time problem. You got a guy that's buying out. He's derailing the operation, essentially, and disrupting the entire culture of the locker room.
Yeah,
I think that was even too big for Horford and Irving and Smart to handle. That needed to be a coach thing or a boss thing.
Did they try?
I don't know.
That we don't know.
Yeah.
Did they even try?
I hope. But that's you got to tell the boss. You don't need to tell the boss everything. That you needed to tell the boss.
Yeah, because it's for the betterment of the entire organization. It's not about the individual in that sense. It's about everyone. It's about the entire team.
So, I'm still shocked. I'm shocked that happened. I'm shocked. And again, the biggest surprise.
I'm not shocked that they lost to the Bucks. I've been telling you since January
that
was the team.
You cannot tell me how they lost was
shocking.
They weren't even. It wasn't even competitive.
I thought it was going to be a 7-game series.
Yeah,
I thought it was going to be a 7-game series. I'm not shocked that they lost to the Bucks. Like I said, since January, I've been telling you, watch for the Bucks. The Bucks are the team to watch. So I'm not stunned that they lost. I thought they were going to win 7, but either way, I thought it was going to go 7. How they lost, how embarrassing it was, that surprised me.
That was surprising, and that was unacceptable. Unacceptable, and it told us everything we need to know. Let's talk to Mike in North Providence about the Celtics. Hey, Mike.
Hi, guys. Well, you know, the reality of Terry Rozier's situation, I was saying this before the season even began, right, is that he's in a contract year.
Mm-hmm.
And he was rightly looking at it that these people were costing him millions of dollars because that's exactly what they were doing. I mean, and if you think that or any of the other players are not going to look at it that way, it's not being real in your mind. And the person primarily responsible for that was Danny Ainge because – you know, it's one thing to sacrifice for the team to win a game. It's another thing to say, you know, I'm going to get paid half as much money because I'm doing it. Especially when there are other guys on the team who have max contracts and already have their money. You see what I'm saying? It was never going to happen. And primarily, this team had way too many good to great players who need the ball, right? And the ecology of any successful NBA team is you have a few stars and you have a lot of clearly defined role players. If you look at the Celtics when Doc ran it and we went to the championship two times in a row, winning one and barely losing the other one, it was you had four guys, Rondo and the big three, taking almost all the shots, and everybody else took five or less. But you know what? Those other guys were clearly defined role players who were happy or could deal with it.
But Mike, the one difference there is that those were solid veterans who had been around for a long time. James Posey, guy who'd been around. Sam Cassell, a guy who'd been around for a long time. They were in a better position to be that solid role player than Rozier. I'm with you because I said at the very beginning of the show, I don't blame Rozier for wanting to start. I don't blame him for wanting as many minutes as possible and make as much money as possible. That's why you do it. I don't blame him. But the situation, you can't build that same way where all your role players are young guys that haven't been paid yet, to your point.
Exactly. And that's the point I'm making here. And it's one of these things where that is primarily first and foremost on Danny of having a roster that's chock-a-block full of guys who haven't been paid yet, who can be paid. And especially in the case of a guy like Rozier, where Terry had a great postseason last year, especially for a young guy. And then I remember he went on to ESPN afterwards, and Stephen A. Smith told him how massively underpaid he was. And I'm like, uh-oh. I saw that. I'm like, this bodes no well, right? And then what's happening is Danny just left everybody there as if you could just keep on adding talent, as if these guys didn't actually have to functionally interact with each other on the floor.
All right, well, fine. Then I don't understand why Brad Stevens didn't. Thanks for the call, Mike. Why didn't Brad Stevens then, or somebody, say, hey, Danny, this isn't working. This guy is not going to work in this situation that he's in. We need to move him.
Yeah.
Okay, I get it. You want to keep him. He's got some talent. He wants to get paid. He wants to show what he can do so he can get paid. I get that too.
Mm-hmm.
But the team has to do what the team has to do. And if the guy wants to get paid and he doesn't want to acquiesce, well then, hey, he's got to go. So why didn't, when that was clear after five games, as admitted by Terry Rozier, why didn't somebody figure it out and move him?
Well,
that's where I'm second guessing.
Here's the other side of this too.
All because Kyrie Irving might get hurt? Not worth the risk.
Well, no. I did want him traded last offseason when his value was high. That's when I wanted him traded.
Yep.
But I understood why you kept him as that security blanket, just in case, because you knew he was a talented player and he could do well for you. You're worried about Kyrie and whether or not he can A, come back from this injury, and B, the productive player he was before, or maybe it'll flare up and he gets injured again halfway through the season, or another injury pops up. But this is where, if I'm Terry Rozier's agent, I start to look at it and go, do what you need to do with this team right now. I know you're going to be out of this situation soon. And if you feel like you haven't been showcased enough, what we're going to go do is find you a one-year, one-on-one deal with a team that needs a starting point guard. It's probably going to be a bad team. But that now you can really showcase your abilities and your skills as a starting point guard in the league, and your next contract's going to be fat.
Yeah. That's a great way for the agent to look at it. I'm looking at it from a Celtics perspective. It should have been clear to them that this isn't working. He's not working with this. So we should do something.
Yeah.
And I don't know why they didn't. That's
I don't
either. I don't understand.
I agree.
All right, let's get it trending when we get back. The Patriots Game of Thrones parallel I want to make. That's next. This is the Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7 WEEI.
We're back to Mark and Kitchen on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
Back here, Mark and Kitchen, 401-737-1287, going to 11. So you watch Game of Thrones.
I do.
Okay, I've never seen an episode.
I know.
But it's not going to matter for this point I'm about to make.
Okay.
But let me ask you this.
Please do.
You've liked the show. You've been a fan of the show. You've liked how it's gone.
Read the books, yeah.
Read the books. But I'm talking about, all right, well.
The show itself. Go ahead. Got it.
Well, hold on a second. The books.
Yes.
I thought everybody was trying to predict how the show's going to end. Do they already know?
The books aren't done.
Oh, they're not done?
No.
Okay.
It's supposed to be seven books. He's written five.
Okay. Well, let me just ask you this. Is there any way they could screw up the ending that could make you dissatisfied with how it goes? Is there any way they could mess this up?
Yeah, they've been doing it all year. all season.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it could get worse. Could it get worse in the finale?
Yes.
It could.
Yes. Are we talking about bad series finales now? Like Coit and Curtis, you were?
What were they talking about?
They were talking about Game of Thrones, and they were talking about bad series finales. Like, they didn't like the Seinfeld series finale or the Sopranos.
I remember that one was stupid.
Series finale.
Never saw that one.
You never watched The Sopranos?
No. No. And I feel like the Seinfeld, I feel like, was a different animal because, and you could correct me if I'm wrong with Game of Thrones. Seinfeld wasn't it just show to show? It was something different.
Yeah, there were very few storylines that went from, you know, that incorporated three or four episodes.
Right. So it was more of that was just a bad last episode.
Yeah.
It wasn't the end of the finale of the season.
I kind
of
liked it, but it wasn't very good.
Yeah, it was all right. Whatever. I remember that day we had like soccer practice and everybody left soccer practice early because they wanted to go home to see the like coaches. They canceled everything. Everybody had to go home because the VCR wasn't set. So they could screw this up.
Yes.
Okay. Has the last season, you haven't loved the last season, has the last season or could this last episode take away a little bit from what this whole series has been, this whole television series has been?
Absolutely. I mean, that is the case with The Sopranos, so yeah, it could.
Okay. Okay. That's my point that we've made with the New England Patriots. Game of Thrones has been unbelievable. I've never seen a reaction to a television show quite like it. I've had people tweet me when I've said that I've never seen an episode, tell me how jealous they are. Because they've seen the episodes and they wish they were in a position where they hadn't seen the episodes so they could enjoy the episodes again, I guess. But the Patriots, this is what we've talked about, and this is another example. They have been so good. Mm-hmm. It has been so epic, so unbelievable. The run has been historic. You can't screw it up at the end. Game of Thrones, I implore you. It's been an amazing run. You've had all this interaction on Twitter and engagement and people obsessed with your program. Don't screw it up. You've got to put the cherry on top. Bill and Tom have got to put the cherry on top. And it's the same thing. This kind of greatness deserves a great ending. That's what we're all rooting for here in New England. And that's why it matters. That's why how it ends matters. That's why people around the country, the haters, get all in a tizzy when there is a whisper of controversy or a chance that maybe Bill and Tom aren't on the same page or something. And it might end bad because that's the only way they'll have the last laugh. But for the sake of Brady and Belichick and Kraft and this organization's championship legacy during this era, it has to end well. That would be the best case scenario, and it's been too great. Game of Thrones has been too great to fall flat on its face in the final episode. You've got to end it well.
Let me give you a perfect example from the world of football. John Elway had a great career.
Yeah.
Went to 3 Super Bowls in the 80s, unfortunately got blown out in 2 of the 3, I believe. Maybe all 3 of them. I don't remember.
They lost to the...
They certainly got blown out by the Redskins, who put up 32 points in the second quarter.
They got blown out by the 49ers once, didn't they?
Yeah, and I'm just trying to remember how bad the score discrepancy was in 86 against the Giants. I think that was kind of a blowout, too, if I remember correctly. But, so, you think about it. LA can get to the dance, but he keeps failing at the dance. He can keep getting there. He's a good quarterback. But then in the 90s, roll around, your team's not quite as good, you can't get there, and then it starts to turn around in the mid-90s, and the end is amazing. You win back-to-back Super Bowls last 2 years of your career. And what immediately happened after that, for like the year after that happened, people are talking about John Elway as being one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, if not the greatest quarterback of all time. So it has a massive impact. If you peter out at the end... not nearly as good. Look at Jordan's career in the NBA. We all wish that last image we saw of him on an NBA court was truly the shot over Brian Russell.
Sure.
We all wish that was the case. It was great to see him continue to play a couple years later with the Wizards, just to have an opportunity to watch the greatest player ever do it, continue to do it. No one remembers it. No one really talks about it. It was garbage. You get that last image, that last one shot, yeah, it's always forever remembered that way. Your greatness is always remembered. The Sopranos, some people liked it, some people hated it. I personally didn't like it very much because if you're going to invest that many years into a television show, you'd like to see a payoff, not just a cop-out,
which is what The Sopranos was. It was a cop-out. We don't know how to pay this off, so we're just going to go blank.
It wasn't a dream or something like that, was it?
No, this wasn't Dallas or something like that.
That's the biggest cop-out of all time. Well, nothing was real. We just couldn't figure out what to write at the end, so it was a dream.
Yeah, it's stupid. The first time you do it, oh, it's kind of creative and interesting, and then everyone does it to repeat it and copy it, whatever. It's stupid. But, yes, you're right. They need to have a good end to this story. If it just peters out, it feels incomplete.
You can't tarnish the greatness that they've put on display this entire time. It has to end well. It has to.
Which is why we keep talking about, well, you know, if the Patriots win this, Brady might walk out on top. That's why we keep talking about it, because we kind of want that to be the case. Whether it's 2 years ago, 3 years ago, whatever, last year, 2 years from now, we want that to be the last. We want to see him ride off into the sunset without that question mark. We don't want the end of the movie Shane, where it's like, hey, he's riding off into the sunset. Oh, but is he dead? Is he alive? Is he dead? I don't know what.
Right?
I'm sure you've never seen that movie.
Definitely not. But I think we've talked about it. Okay.
You want that.
The guy's riding off and you don't know if he's dead or alive?
Yeah, it looks like he starts to slump over on the horse.
What killed him? An Indian?
No, I think it's just an accumulation of injuries in a battle. I haven't seen Shane in a long time, but that's the image. Everyone wrote, no, if you've seen that movie, you know that image of that movie with the little kid going, Shane, as he's riding away, and then it looks like he's starting to kind of fall off his horse. You don't want that. You just want that riding off into the sunset. You don't want that question mark at the end. Well, maybe he should come back for one. You want that good. You want that finality.
In sports, last impressions are sort of like first impressions in life. They last. That's what sort of sticks in people's minds.
Willie Mays with the Mets.
Yeah.
Dropping fly balls in the outfield.
Yeah, it's just hard to it's hard to get over that when that's the last thing you've seen. And I hate seeing that. I don't want to see that.
Robert Parrish looking like the Crypt Keeper playing for the Bulls.
I remember the Bulls. The Bulls years.
They looked awful.
Yeah.
You don't want to see that athlete that holds on too long and just peters out and fades into obscurity.
Yeah.
You kind of need that. That's why Elway had that great run and knew to hang it up. It's not going to get better than this. I finally got what I was after. But I agree. At least for Brady. Belichick, it's a little bit different situation. You can keep kind of doing it for a little while longer. But with Brady, I want that to be the last thing you see.
Yeah, you can keep doing it. That's a good point. It's more for Brady. Because with Belichick, you could sort of close the book on this dynasty and this partnership.
Mm-hmm.
And then if he stayed on and he was part of a new thing or something like that, that wouldn't be the same thing. The two of them together. It has to end amicably. It has to be successful. It has to be honorable. And I guess the only way for that to happen now is in a championship situation.
Look at Peyton Manning. Everyone's talking about him being the greatest quarterback of all time for a long time until Brady started really racking up number 4 and 5. Everyone talks about Peyton Manning being greater than Brady. And he only had one. He needed that second one. He needed that one at the end of his career to kind of validate him a little bit. Otherwise, you're Dan Marino with one ring.
Yeah.
As opposed to being Dan Marino with no rings. Similar situation with Drew Brees. He's got the one.
I don't think Brees was ever on that level.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't, but he's on that notch below.
Yeah.
Or is Brees in a different situation because he's still kind of breaking records? So it's still his individual greatness is still on display, even if the team doesn't achieve that ultimate goal.
The Patriots have been so great, almost unprecedented. They have been unprecedented in their accomplishments in the championships. It just has to end well. They have to find a way to make it. It doesn't have to be perfect, but it's got to be. It can't be a crash landing. It has to be.
You know, they can't all of a sudden Brady's stinks and the team's 8-8, and it's just like, all right,
yeah.
I don't want that. I don't want that played 1 year too long. I don't want that one. I don't want that Brett Favre year. Remember he had that first season with the Vikings and he was outstanding and they were good and he just threw a stupid pick to cost him a chance at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But then he comes back one more year and he sucks.
Yeah. No, that's not what you want to see. And I trust that a guy like Tom Brady feels like he has a feel. He has some awareness. I don't think he put himself in that position. I think he'll have a pretty good feel of where he's at and when it's time. That's what I think.
I hope so.
What did you?
I don't want to see him that one broken year. I do not want to see that year with him.
Thoughts on Jamie Collins re-signing with the New England Patriots?
That's okay.
Yeah.
Depth.
I'm for it.
Cheap.
I don't not like it. I just think that I think everybody here sort of fell in love with how much of an athlete he was and how physically freakish he was.
He was really good, though. Don't forget. He was very good.
No, he's good. But I'll say this. He never made the amount of plays, the key plays, that a guy like Kyle Van Noy has made for this team.
True.
He never did that.
True.
Same way, similar to how Chandler Jones is a better player than Trey Flowers. He is. But Trey Flowers made more plays when it mattered than Chandler Jones did during his time with the Patriots.
Also true.
So I like having him here. I think it'll help. I think that's a nice depth piece. He's another guy that's been around, and he's got some physical talent. But this is a guy that, when it mattered, he couldn't cover Owen Daniels. So I like having him back. And hopefully, he doesn't have to be put into a primary prominent role. But this is not a guy that, despite, he's not a guy that played as well as his combined stats would have indicated. That's all I'm saying.
No, he's a good player. I think he led the Browns in tackles last year. He's a pretty good player still. So I think this is a good move. I think if you can get anything out of him moving forward, great.
Let's talk to, we want to talk to Dan in Cranston. Dan, good morning. Thanks for finding us.
Yeah, I found you. I was looking for you last week, too.
Looking for you? The state police, Dan.
Yeah, you clearly were. And listen, that's part of my problem with the switch. Is this permanent?
Yes. On Saturdays.
Who's a genius that decides these things? Because the Sunday morning crap in Boston is unlistenable.
they wanted to feature in Boston Wiggy, Bradfo, yeah, and Reamer.
Yeah, and I'm sure one of those three was probably responsible for making the switch, too. Oh, God. But, you know, I call on Saturday morning. Now, you know, the thing is on two shows in a row.
You put you in a tough spot. We were talking about that out there.
Yeah, I mean, can you call both shows back-to-back?
I mean, Dan, I don't care. Call both of us. Call them at, you know, 7:45. Call us at 9:50. I don't care. Call us both.
I get you, man.
Two different shows.
Yeah, two totally different shows, but it was nice when they were on two separate days, you know? Agreed. Sundays, it was just, I don't know how you guys feel about it, but I think it sucks. That's my own opinion.
I like having my Sunday mornings again.
Well, during football season,
Dan, there you go. There you have it. We won't be preempted during football season.
That's a big positive.
Okay. Well, I'll look forward to talking to you later on Saturday mornings.
It's
only 2 hours, though, right?
For now, Dan.
We'll keep you posted.
All right. I'll keep listening. Have a good day, fellas.
Thanks,
take care. Bye.
Did you hear his call earlier?
So I started listening when I was driving down around the time you did, where he called back. That's a great story.
He was on the air talking to them. I missed that part of it. On the air talking to them, all of a sudden disappears, and Dan doesn't hang up.
No.
He'll keep going. Then all of a sudden calls back. Turns out he was pulled over by the police in that time, and he's like, oh, I'm sorry. I was on the phone with the radio show on EEI in Providence. I was, oh, is that Dan? You're Dan in Cranston. Oh, I hear you all the time. And let him off.
That's a great story.
You or I get pulled over? Not the same situation.
You wouldn't pull it, don't you know who I am?
No. Never.
Here
ever.
In Providence, you wouldn't do
Google
that?
Me, bitch. No, I wouldn't do it. Don't you know who I am? I barely know who I am.
All right, we got to go to break. When we get back, we'll wrap it up. This is the Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7 WEEI.
We're back to Mark and Kitchen on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
All right, back here on the Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7 WEEI. Let's go back to the phones. Let's talk to Rich in North Providence, who wants to talk about the Celtics. Rich, good morning.
Good morning, guys. You know, talking about a guy down in New Orleans who quit on his team, and then we have Kyrie. I understand the Celtics' dilemma. The thing is that you bring Antonio Davis here, and perhaps you have to give up both Tatum and Brown and some first-round draft choices, and then he may only be here for 1 year. And then, you know, leave.
Well, I think
that's terrible because Antonio Davis is 50 years old. I want Anthony Davis.
Hold on a sec.
Anthony Davis.
That's a good point, though, that Rich just brought up, okay?
Yeah.
You'd have to give up. Forget about giving up all the assets to get Anthony Davis. That's one thing.
Yes.
But what Rich just said, nobody's really talked about you'd be trying to get a guy. We've all talked about Kyrie and how frustrating he was at times this year. You'd be trying to get a guy that gave up on his team in the middle of the season.
Yeah.
The culture here was bad enough this year, and now you're going to get a guy that gave up on his team to bring him in. Let's go to war with him. Is that really the move? That's a good point, Rich.
Yeah. I mean, I want guys who, if they're going to go to war, they're going to go to war. They're not going to be quitters. And they're not going to have attitudes.
Well, we want, you know what we want? We want more Kevin Garnetts.
Right. Yeah. But those guys aren't, I mean, that's tough guy to get.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that would be really good. And if I could just switch over to the Red Sox quickly. Is Tyler Thornburg still on the team?
Look it up, Ben, because I haven't. They need more. They need more than him.
Oh, I
think
know.
In the bullpen.
Believe me, I just you know. I mean, we gave up four guys to get him.
Yeah, they in their pursuit of bullpen help over the last couple of years, they've made some boneheaded decisions.
Remember Carson Smith? How'd that go?
We
were waiting for him to come back for it felt like ages to come back, and then he gets hurt again. I mean that. They've had issues. They got around it last year, but during the course of 162 games, you need some depth. You need some guys that can come out of there and produce.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Thornburg is, you know, he had a decent year in Milwaukee, or he had a very good year. You know, he didn't pitch. You know, it wasn't a lot that he pitched innings-wise, but, I mean, for Dombrowski to say, hey, we'll give up four of our guys. Now, granted, some of them were minor leaguers, but some of them were close to being major league
or some of them were already on the major league roster.
Yeah, I mean it's like we'll give up four of our guys and you give us Thornburg. It's like Milwaukee was like, "What was that?" Sure. Or instead of "What was that?" it's like, "No problem. Okay. That sounds fair."
Yeah, I was like, "Gee, let me think." Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've made some very questionable decisions in terms of bullpen arms, and it's not even just Dombrowski. It's you go back, Mark Melancon, guys like that.
Melancon was a good one. He should have stayed with us. They should have kept him.
Well, again, you made a curious decision. You bring him in, it doesn't quite work right away. Then it starts to work a little bit later, but then you've already made up your mind. We're gonna, you know, move on.
Yeah.
And they spent too much time looking at bullpen arms instead of trying to get that top flight guy. Like this year, Craig Kimbrell's out there, and you know what he is, but you don't even throw an offer out there.
Yeah.
You don't do anything to bring that guy back.
His value just solidified.
It did come way down, and part of the reason he's still unemployed is because he thinks he's worth $1 million a start or a close. I don't know. I'm just frustrated with their inability. Outside of really, truly outside of Kimbrel for what he was for a couple of years,
they've
been very poor at managing the bullpen.
The one guy that I wanted them to go after, we talked about them going after, I wanted to see, I thought he would have, from a culture perspective, perfect for the bullpen, David Robertson. I don't know why they didn't try to get David Robertson. He has had success in this division. He's had success in the postseason. He's a wily veteran. Now, I get it. He's not the biggest guy, but it's not like he's been injury prone that much over the course of his career. That is a perfect guy I wanted to see, especially with the pitching, the starting pitching you had.
This is what you need in that situation. Consistency.
Yeah.
Consistency and reliability. And that's what he is.
I'll never forget.
Was he too old for them?
Maybe.
This is a team that also relied on a 38-year-old closer before.
Right. I'll never forget. I was doing a story that featured David Robertson when he worked for the Yankees, and the night before I was supposed to meet him the next morning at Yankee Stadium for a sit down one on one. The night before I'm supposed to meet him, he gave up six runs and blew a game. He was trying to close out a game against like the Mariners, gave up six runs, and I had to walk in the next morning and meet him, but he was fine. So here's another guy.
Did he have to read anything for you? Did he have to do any copy? Like,
no.
Oh, he didn't have to do... Anytime I think of that, I always think of that horror show of having to do a commercial with Dustin Pedroia.
Is that what you used to have to do?
Occasionally. Sometimes they'd be like, he's not going to come here. Can you just go over to Fenway and record it? Like, yeah, okay,
so you'd
whatever.
Have to go to Fenway?
Sometimes. Very rarely. I'd have to go someplace to do something like that because for whatever reason. And it was the most painful experience.
Why?
Because he can't read.
He can't read?
He can barely read. It was brutal. It was absolutely brutal.
He's just a ball player.
Sentence by sentence. Just do one sentence at a time, Dustin. We don't need to, you don't need to try and breeze through this thing because you can't do it. It was awful. And the commercial still came out like garbage. It was like he was reading a ransom note the whole time. It was terrible. Terrible.
Okay.
Learn to read.
Another guy that quit that we would take in a second, in an instant, Kawhi Leonard. Quit on the Spurs.
Yeah,
look how he's been doing in Toronto. You know,
I'll take him.
You can't go by that metric, I guess. I want Kyrie back.
My one thing about the Kawhi situation is, and I don't know this, but I feel like there is an element that's been missing to explain it away a little bit better. I don't know if that's true or not.
What happened in San Antonio?
Yes.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I feel like there's something else there that we've never learned.
It wasn't just, I want to get out. I'm sick of living here. I'm sick of this organization. I think he felt wronged by the medical staff, whatever. I don't know. And we're never going to know what happened there.
But I'll absolutely take him on my team, even though he did perceivably quit on his team.
One thought on the PGA Championship, Brooks Koepka, enjoy what he's doing. Tiger Woods not playing between the Masters and this tournament was stupid. That he had no chance. If you just thought you're going to pick up the clubs again and dominate another major, that was stupid. So I'm disappointed that he didn't even make the cut and it won't play the weekend.
Not going to watch if he's not there.
Yep. By this time next week, we'll know who the Bruins' opponent will be in the Cup Finals, I think. And I want it to be the Sharks.
I do too.
Rooting for the Sharks.
How do you feel about the firing of Brad Friedel and the appointment of Bruce Arena for the New England Revolution?
So, I'm not a Bruce Arena guy.
Why?
Because I've never liked what he really has done with the national team.
Sure. Kind of looks like a douche.
But, now, did he coach L.A.?
Yes.
Okay. He had some success there. I'll give him a shot with the Revs.
He's had success everywhere he's been.
He's probably the only, other than the guys that, other guys that have coached the Revs, he's probably the only American soccer coach I can name. So I like that, I guess. But, whatever. Give it a shot. He's a big name.
Okay.
He's a big name.
Just wanted to...
Just don't put him near the national team again. That was such a loser move when they brought him back, when they got rid of Jurgen Klinsmann. I get it. He's familiar. That's a loser move. You
got to
get somebody that can coach that team. Okay?
Yeah, that whole situation was bad. There was obviously a plan in place with Jurgen Klinsmann, and they aborted it halfway through.
We're not going to get into this. I just cannot believe.
Sorry, I just wanted to fit in a
resume. When was the World Cup? Was that last summer?
Yes.
Yeah. I can't believe.
They weren't
that
there.
It's been like 5 or whatever, 6 years since I've seen the U.S. play in a World Cup soccer game. 2014. It's stupid. 5 years. That was so bad.
It might be more. It might end up being more.
No, they're going to make the next one. There's no way they screw that up.
There was no way they screwed up last time.
Well, this was a wake-up call, and all those losers are out of there. They're playing morning soccer down the street from me now. It's 6:30 a.m.
You might not see them in a World Cup game until they host it, baby.
Better not be that long. Okay. So again, we are on at this 9 a.m. Saturday mornings, the Mark and Kitchen Show. We will follow Coit and Cordishi. That is a permanent move. That's where we'll be.
I'm excited for Saturday mornings.
Yeah, I like this. It was short. Not used to a two-hour show. We'll see how that goes. We'll see if it evolves. But as for now, we'll be on at 9 till 11. What do we got next? You going to tease something for me?
Me?
Yeah.
No. I don't know what's next.
All right.
Show's over? We're done?
This is the Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7 WEI.
Bye.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.